Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again to you.
Yes.
This is a performance of Woodstock.
This is a thing called I'm Going Home by Helicopter.
Oh,
rib, I love that rib you are. How, how, how.
Oh! want to thank you for taking me back.
So tonight I'm going to play the next part of my show. It's Hugo Chavez, and it's quite substantial, a documentary. about 52 minutes long, so it'll hopefully make over a little bit. But I hope you enjoy it. And here we go. Documentary about how you should be. Venezuela was the only country in Latin America where neoliberalism had to face the anger of the people. It was the only country where the people took to the streets to defend their life and their dignity. The country only where an alternative project is in process. As you go, Chavez.
Who is Hugo Chavez, the president of the Republic of Venezuela? Is he a Christian Bolivarian revolutionary, as he likes to label himself? Or is he a demagogue? Is he a messianic savior or an autocrat? Paratroop squadron leader of modest origins at the 1998 presidential election, when he beat the two powerful parties that had shared power up till then. What is the secret of this hero of the Caracas slums, who has tried these past 3 years to change the course of his country's history?
And the winter water was deep. It was in a hamlet, Sabanas de Pininos, on the bank of Rio. It was full of birds chirping all the time, of cocks singing, of toads and frogs giving concerts at night, of crickets singing in grassland. I'm from the Llanos. I remember that when I was a child, the nights became darker when the generator was shelved. The nights seemed to be deeper and full of mystery. Then the elders started to tell their tales. The children would listen to them. Sick with fear, there were stories of ghosts about ghosts and lonely souls and all the ghosts of the grassland. My grandmother said a Chavez left with Zamora to travel, and she would point toward west, towards Barinas, the capital. She was talking about 1858, when Ezequiel Zamora, the leader of the Peninsular Revolution, had followed Bolivar's banner about 20 years after Bolivar's death. He had raised the Venezuelan peasants and went through Sabanta. And today,
Venezuela is a country with little history. Bolívar, El Libertador, is a historical figure all Venezuelans recognize. He was the charismatic leader of the independence war against Spain. He freed Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Peru, one after the other. Bolivar's philosophy was inspired by the Enlightenment and the French Revolution. He fought all his life for the abolition of slavery, education for all, land reform, and for the rights of the indigenous peoples. His lifelong dream of a free federation of Latin American states collapsed under the pressure of the big landowners. He died in exile, abandoned by all, at the age of 47. It was then that the legend began. Chavez grew up with the Bolivarian dream, which was the source of everything he did in politics.
Y por línea materna, entonces venían los cuentos del abuelo que...
Well, my grandmother, many women in the family said he was bad. So I had to live with the idea that my grandfather was a murderer. But later, when I was a teenager, I studied local and natural history. Then, when I was a student, I studied military history, and I discovered my grandfather wasn't a murderer. I always have the scapular that he wore over 100 years old that he wears. It is the scapular of the Virgin del Carmen. It is my grandfather's one. He was a soldier and fought in the war since he was 15. At the end of the 19th century, he took part in the revolution to give back to Venezuela the way it lost when Bolivia, the Bolivian Revolution.
Since Venezuela gained independence, its history has been marked by turmoil and missed opportunity. At the beginning of the century, huge oil fields were discovered in Venezuela, making the country the third largest oil exporter in the world and the largest provider of crude to the United States. Nevertheless, only the few families who control 70% of Venezuela's wealth reaped the benefits. The wealth brought by oil has little by little become a curse on the population of this passive country dominated for so long by the oil companies of North America.
How come a country like Venezuela, which is almost 1 million square kilometers, which has the largest oil reserves in the world after the Persian Gulf, the biggest oil reserve in the world, and with the Caribbean Sea just in front of us, the huge forest land, and the great supply of fresh water, we have the extraordinary location. We have, and it's millions of hectares of fertile lands, the mountains of iron, its huge reserves of bauxite, precious stones and diamonds. Yet a democracy led the country into the poverty which now afflicts 80% of the population. What kind of democracy is this?
Venezuela became a democracy in 1958 after the fall of Marco Pérez Jiménez, the last of the caudillos. Yet it could never really get rid of its past as a military dictatorship. Democracy was compromised from the outset. Romulo Betancourt, the first president-elect, suspended all basic liberties on account of political disturbances and banned the Communist Party. Amid an atmosphere of conflict, Cuban-style guerrilla warfare appeared in some remote parts of the country. After an inconclusive 11-year struggle, the guerrillas laid down their arms and accepted an amnesty proposed by President Caldera's Christian Social Government. Most of the guerrilla leaders joined the political establishment. By two main political parties, the Democratic Action Party and the Christian Social Party, COPEI. They shared power for 40 years. Nepotism and corruption were rife. The 1970-1980 oil crisis precipitated a mass exodus from the countryside. These populations gathered in suburbs and slums, which formed a belt of misery around the country's major cities. Caracas became the monstrous symbol of its urban failure. In 1982, during the presidency of the Christian social Herrera Campins, the price of oil suddenly plummeted. Huge amounts of capital fled the country, leaving widespread disillusionment, especially among the new middle classes. It was these people who, in 1989, hoping for a miracle, voted en masse for the very popular Carlos Andrés Pérez. 25 days after his election, the new president, under pressure from the IMF, took measures which led to a sudden explosion of prices. The most underprivileged of society were first hit. El Caracazo, 3 days of extremely violent riots, burst out on February the 28th, 1989. The government, unable to handle the situation, suspended all constitutional rights and called out the army.
Se cumplió ese día, o esos días, porque fue una semana de rebelión popular en todo el país.
The rebellion all over the country, Bolivar's curse was fulfilled. Bolivar said one day a curse on the soldier who aims his weapons at his people. That was Chavez talking. They're showing troops and people in the streets of Venezuela, poor people. During the street revolution. By the ruling class of the society. Here is different.
they represent average Venezuelans. From both urban and rural areas.
In 1993, 30 banks went bankrupt, dragging the economy of the whole country down with them. The same year, the Supreme Court, under pressure from the people, began legal proceedings against President Pérez.
They want to imprison me. Yeah.
Accused of corruption. Teodoro Petkov, who'd been a guerrilla in the 1960s, founded the Socialist Party and became finance minister under President Rafael Caldera. Today, he runs an opposition newspaper.
He says there was a period of unrest. Pérez had just been deposed, and it was followed by two military coups. Among the four candidates who were left in our country, we thought, and I think we were right, the only one who could stabilize democracy and carry out a peaceful transition between two periods was Caldera.
In 1994, Petkov, who was then Minister of Finance, launched an unprecedented campaign of privatization under the pressure of the IMF. The same year, Chavez got an early release after spending 2 years in a military fortress.
I remember that day when very well, it was March 26, 1994. It was Easter Sunday. I took off my uniform in front of a group of comrades in arms. I put on my plain suit. And I walked out on my soldiers with my brothers. And that was a very moving day, very emotional. I even shed a few tears. Because it was the end of a period. When I came out of prison, I felt happy, but also sad to leave military life, which I loved. The fire burning inside me.
After his release, Chavez traveled in the depths of the country, struggling for an unrewarding cause. He had no support from the traditional money, politics, and media-orientated pressure groups. Still, he carried along crowds of the worst off in Venezuelan society, using his charisma and exceptional talent for oratory as his sole weapons. While he was conquering power, he worked at his political project, the Revolutionary Bolivarian Movement.
It was an instantaneous political party. Between 1992 and 1997, it started to form itself as a party, which was mainly underground, with very few effects on national level. With the electoral period coming, they had to change, and the MBR, Revolutionary Bolivian Movement, became the movement of the Fifth Republic. The party also had to change. Their aim was to win the election, but without proposing any political platform. Chavez's political figure was enough. It was the terrible advantage and handicap of the movement, because this party started to believe as a vote-catching party. It was a revolutionary party, but also a vote-catching one. Most of its members and leaders belonged to the former Marxist-leftist trend, but also to the other parties, Democrat Action and Social Christians, who had different aims. During Chavez's election to office. I swear before God. I swear before the nation. I swear before my people on this moribund constitution that I will accomplish and encourage
all necessary democratic changes so that the new republic could benefit of a constitution appropriated to our modern time. And I swear, and that was Chavez is swearing in 1998. The Venezuelan people's cries resound again in the valley of Caracas and over all the heroic land of Venezuela. That was Hugo Chavez's victory. Republican, by the authority of law, I declare you as the incumbent of the constitutional presidency of the Republic of Venezuela. He was officially sworn in as president. Chavez inherited a country of which expected deep changes. 60% of the country voted for him because they thought he had enough authority on account of his military training to be able to put back a country which has in a very bad state. You know how to govern, that answer, and with the support of the people, you are starting to feel the positive effect of a government which is committed to them, and especially to the poorest. This is Chavez talking. Governing is also coming to an agreement. Even if they brandish the banners of the opposition, governing also means accepting and making up of one's person. We must govern with passion and with a strong will. Our ears are not only our ears, our eyes too can hear, and our hands too can hear, and there are many ways of hearing, seeing, and feeling the voice of the nation. This is the way I follow.
Chavez wanted to come up to the expectations of those who elected him. Thus, he wrote a new constitution to restore legitimacy to the state. It was accepted by 70% of the vote in a referendum. This constitution was meant to cure the country of all evils and provide education, health, and justice for all. It also recognized the Indians' ancestral rights. Everything had been considered on paper. Chavez's blue book became his main weapon against poverty and corruption.
Never will it be easy, he says, to rebuild a country which has been destroyed from a moral and political, economical, and functional point of view. We are performing a historical feat and will succeed. Once more, I'm asking all the Venezuelans to read, and not only to read, to know, to speak about, and to work for our Constitution. As a nation, as a human group, as a society, and as a community. This Constitution is like a child we have to put to encourage and to feed so he'll get strong every day. This is the Fifth Republic, Chavez says. He's taking photographs with people. They're very accessible. and its institutions, and was ready to die if it was necessary. I did it with passion. I wholeheartedly took the responsibility for it. As a soldier, I swore I would defend my nation. The nation, for me, is the people. The essential element of the nation is the people. What is more, I am a Bolivarian soldier. So according to Bolivar's doctrine, from what he said in his last declaration, soldiers must defend social benefits with their swords. We're almost that way now in our country, and we have to defend our social benefits with our swords.
He mobilized the army to do humanitarian work. Soldiers were called up to make roads, build schools, and provide the poorest populations with mobile hospitals run by military and civilian surgeons.
Soldiers work for the promotion of men. They serve social development. They obey a constitutional measure. The combination of military and civil services is an essential part of a revolutionary project. That's what Chavez said.
The army best proved its efficiency on the so-called Bolivarian markets. Eliminating the middlemen between the small producers and consumers reduced prices by 40%. What's more, the soldiers offered services to the public, eye tests, legal advice, and express treatment of official documents.
First, there hasn't been a revolution in Venezuela. There has been a change of what we could call the political upper structure of the country. The political elite, which ruled for half a century, was ousted and replaced by a new but mediocre one. It was very limited and not very skilled. Yet the society hasn't changed. It is still the same country. There is a ceremony being conducted here.
Chavez broke off with a discredited traditional political staff. He gathered around him a team composed of members of the medical profession, engineers, military personnel who had remained faithful to him, and above all, academics.
He's in a meeting. He's discussing land reform with his cabinet. And then he says,
this reform became a pretext for the opposition to launch a violent campaign against Chavez.
The landowners of the country took the best lands by force, as Chavez talking. They even killed many people, farmers and natives, to draw them out of their lands by force. They falsified documents. In conclusion, in collusion with the government, they are proceeding to a total. The titles in order to be respected. But those with correspond to a gap in the law won't be respected. And all those people who have great areas of land, they can't justify they own it, will be obliged to give them back by the state. For what? For them to be productive and to obey the Constitution. This is his land reclamation. The occupied land didn't belong to the rich. And gave it to the poor. Or government. Chavez with us. Let him come here. This is a riot and people marching in the streets who want Chavez to help them. And demands to occupying lands and constitution and so on. He says we have the legitimacy of the governments to take elections. Some groups consider dialogue as coercion because they are not used to it, but to imposing their ideas and interests. Now, what we really want is national unity. I think this is the reason why this say there isn't unity. We're not communists, we're not left wing, we don't belong together to this tired left. This is
one of the new opposition parties representing the frustrations.
He's a party member of another party. Chavez had a radical position, he says, against the past to fight corruption, against waste and the mistakes of public civil service. How many people are imprisoned for corruption? None. Today, for the people, corruption is not important anymore. The president has failed his government because he's not confident enough to be a president for sure. They are all crazy. This is Hugo's speech. Everywhere I go, they want to put me down. They want to call up a referendum. Look at this bunch of wimps. Here I am, fully armed. Let them tie one of my legs to my left hand and to my back, and on just one leg, and giving them a lead of 90 meters out of 100. I'll beat them all. This is all this bunch of wimps together. Go out in the street and you will see the people there. These streets belong to the people. It doesn't belong to the wimps. The street belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to the wimp. Isn't it interesting? Who are the poor people to hear about revolution and be told to form revolutionary action groups? I don't care about a revolution which doesn't give me a job. For example, nobody even said this revolution is real. But the revolution he's talking about aims at strengthening the private sector, making sense easier for it, opening it up to foreign investors and giving them guarantees. What we need is security.
The country having no political culture, the different heads of the opposition found it impossible to agree with one another or form a real project of government. It was torn between satisfying two different interests, the employers who couldn't waste the wealth of the state as they had been used to doing, and the middle class, which was disappointed because Chavez didn't take a tougher stance. The only point on which this heterogeneous opposition agreed was on ousting Chavez.
The damage they caused to all of these people is very important. A lot of Venezuelans are jobless. They don't go to school and don't receive basic education. This is Hugo Chavez talking. Many of them are homeless. They have very serious health problems. It is a serious socialist issue. This is where the main political. These populations are living on a time bomb. A burst out 10 years ago in 1989. This is where the heart of a major crisis beats. We have to deactivate the explosive forces we have here. We are the future of Venezuela. The middle classes have almost all been decimated. It is a different problem. These classes have had the best intellectual training, and they also are the most adapted to work. The main problem with them is partly due to their being these classes against national interests, so we have to work on communication, convince them, and make them understand what the interest of the country is and what their role in the revolution can be. As for the upper class, they don't really know what reality is. They believe they live in a paradise surrounded by hell.
Joining me tonight. It's just about 9 o'clock, and
I hope you learned something. I did. And Hugo Chavez was a remarkable, remarkable man. And Alvin Lee, of course, was a remarkable musician. And they'll be greatly missed. The world will miss them greatly. We wish you all a good night, and thank you for joining us. And join us right here next week when we start again on Tuesday. So good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.